Good morning. It's great to see so many faces here, and I send a huge hello, huge greetings from, that's all right, Dave, that can just sit there, that's part of my message, it's all right. A huge hello from Pastor Bill Vassilakis. I know he was with you just a little while ago, from Seton, who's the lead pastor there and also the chairman of our CFC board. And I know that our Seton Church are thinking of you, keep you in our prayers, feel like you're part of the family. I hope you feel like we're part of the family, and it's just a privilege to be able to come and share with you this morning. So thank you to David and to Judy for your invitation. Well, this morning, like Dave said, we are going to look at first things first. And I just want to take a moment to speak to you. If you're not a regular church goer, if you've been invited by a friend to come along to really celebrate with them or just witness, you know, a special moment in their family's life, you might not consider yourself a religious type of person. And maybe you're here today just because of that invitation. I want to say good on you. And you might be even thinking, this is the boring part of the service that I just have to survive and endure. And you're probably thinking, your tummy might be grumbling a bit and you're thinking about, what do I feel like for lunch? I just want to encourage you, just for 20 minutes, to put aside any assumptions you might have that this might be boring or not relevant to you. Just put it to the side and just be open perhaps to, if there is a God, and if he is real, what he might have to say to you. The first prayer that I ever prayed was, God, if you're real, show me. I didn't know the right words. I didn't know the right thing to pray. I just said, God, if you're real, show me. My friend from uni soon after that invited me along to an Easter service. And I relate to that, not having everything worked out. I understand that. But I'm going to be bold and say, just for 20 minutes, I hope that you're going to find some stuff that's relevant for you today. When my boys were younger, they're 9 and 6 now, but when they were a bit younger, we went on a family holiday. We've been on a few, but I thought it would be a great idea to put some stuff in a little backpack for them, like a little mini backpack, so that we wouldn't have to take as much in their hand luggage on the plane. And so I put some stuff in their backpack, and I think Angus must have been only about 2, so it was a tiny backpack. But obviously, I stuffed it a little bit full, and they're walking along, and poor little kid, he's just like walking along, doing his thing, and all of a sudden, he literally like a turtle on his back. I felt like bad mum fail, that's not good. But he's sitting there flaying around like a turtle, and I'm just thinking, oh, that's really not good. And that's a pretty funny story, but it also is a way of, I guess, illustrating that all of us carry around a lot of stuff every day, all of us. And it can be overwhelming at times. And if we think things can be overwhelming for us, we just had those precious kids come in here and do a beautiful item, it was gorgeous. But imagine some of the things that they find overwhelming. I want you to have a look at this stat. Behind the News, which is a current affairs program for kids on ABC, did a survey with about 20,000 kids aged 6 to 16. And from this survey, the issues which worry kids and young people the most, either all the time or most of the time, were these things. He's working on it. I'll read it. Their future was 43%. Family, 39% of kids worry about family. 37% worry about health. Maybe their health, someone that they love. There it is. You can see what's up there. 30% of kids, bullying. That's huge. Just look at those stats. World problems, school, their body. 31% their body being different. Pretty staggering, isn't it? So just like grown-ups, children and young people have many worries and fears too. And sometimes a child or a young person might bounce around looking happy, looking engaged with what they're doing, but on the inside they don't feel too good. And many kids and young people don't find it easy to actually express their worries because they're still learning to actually explain how they're feeling. Sometimes it takes a kind adult pausing to really notice, gently asking some open-ended questions, someone who's willing to be patient and let young people know that we're always here to listen, to really listen. We're always here. And I say we because we, grown-ups, I think we need to get a whole lot better at this. Of the 20,000 children surveyed, 1 in 5 said they would not talk to anyone about their problems. 1 in 5. I couldn't believe that statistic. That broke my heart. That's a lot of kids walking around with heavy hearts, trying to manage life and feeling pretty alone. So I want to start right from the outset by asking you a question. What difference could your attentive kindness make in a child or young person's life? What difference could your attentive kindness make? You can decide in advance that you're not going to be shocked. You're not going to try and fix things when they tell you stuff. Before you think about next steps, just be available to hear what is weighing heavy on kids' hearts. What's weighing heavy on young people's hearts. And that's really hard to do sometimes because sometimes kids are big talkers and they like to talk and you're busy and you've got stuff to do and you're like, I've got to go from here to there and we've got a schedule we've got to stick to and blah, 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 blah. Can be easy. I've tried, I don't always succeed perfectly, but I've tried to be aware that when my kids say, Mum, can I talk to you about something? That I don't just assume it's about Pokemon, even though most of the time it is. And I'm really not that excited about football or something they want to talk to me about. Sure. But I've just tried to assume that if they want to raise something with me that's really worrying them or that is a serious thing, it's a big thing that they're facing, that I'm not just going to be like, I don't have time for that. Or if I don't have time to say, hey, look, I know you really want to talk about this, but Mummy can't do it right now. Can we make a time tonight after you get home from school? To be available for our kids. None of us do this perfectly, but all of us can get better at this. And I'm saying that because this place is called, this church is called the Hills Christian, what? Family Centre. And we made a pledge this morning to support those families who are raising their children. And we can support kids and teenagers with some of the things they carry around. We can initiate and keep on initiating conversations. Do you know, kids are great observers, but they're poor interpreters. If there's relational tension or breakdown that your family is experiencing, be a big person and take time to explain it to your kids. Hey, you just heard Mum and Dad having a bit of an argument, but I want you to know that they're our feelings and they're not your fault, and we're going to work on that. I want to ask you a question as well this morning. What did you walk in here carrying that feels pretty heavy right now? I'll just let that hang in the air because I'm sure something comes to mind straight away. Well, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus took his friends up a mountainside and he sat down with them to talk to them about what really matters in life. And one of the things Jesus tells them is this: do not worry. Do not worry. And to help us understand why he's saying do not worry, he wants us to know a really important truth. Because he's not just talking to his friends who lived back then. Through the Holy Scriptures, Jesus is talking to us today. To those of us who are already his friends and those of us who haven't yet asked him into our life and those of us who maybe don't even think that they need to or want to. Jesus is saying to us too here today, do not worry. He wants us to know a really important truth to help us understand why we're not to worry. And it's in Matthew 6, verses 24, just the first part of it. He says, you can't worship two gods at once. Huh? I thought we were supposed to be talking about worry. What are you talking about, Jesus? Why are you telling us about worship and gods and all this sort of stuff? What is the point of that? To understand why Jesus says, do not worry, we actually need to think about who we're putting first and what we're putting most of our trust in. What we're trusting the most. So he tells us this truth in Matthew 6. He goes on, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you will end up hating the other. That is strong language. Adoration of one feeds contempt. And contempt is thinking that something is worthless or not worth paying attention to. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. You can't worship the real God and a false God at the same time. And we think a false God is an idol or a statue, but you know, a false God is actually anything in our life that we make more important than God. Anything or anyone. It can be anything we love or treat as more important than God. But often we do put other things first, don't we? We worry about what our friends think. We put the pursuit of having the best designer house in the street. We put financial security as our top priority. We put, you know, people in our family and making keeping everyone happy. We put work first. We put the fact that we're so much better at a skill or a talent or ability than someone else. We put getting back at someone who has hurt us first. Now, we might not say that we do that, but in our hearts, we really do. Do you know how you can tell what you're worshipping or putting first? It's what you spend the most money on. It's what you spend the most time on. What you spend the most money on. What you spend the most time on. What you think about the most. How challenging is that? You cannot put God first and money first at the same time. You cannot put God first and anything or anyone first at the same time. And Jesus goes on in verse 25 and 26. He says, if you decide for God, for living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss, you don't fret or worry about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than what you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance and the clothes you hang on your body. There is far more to your life. You were made for God, to love him and enjoy him forever. He purposely handcrafted you and formed you in your mother's womb. There is far more to your life than just your everyday needs and concerns. In Matthew 6, he goes on, he says, look at the birds, they're free and unfettered. They're not tied down to a job description. They're careless in the care of God. I love that description. And you count far more to him than birds. You count far more to him than a little sparrow. When was the last time you noticed how much you count to God? Maybe you've never thought about it before. But the good news about Jesus that gets talked about time after time at this church, that we're all about as a Christian Family Center, that we have the privilege of being able to share, that has changed and transformed so many of our lives, is that God's love has been demonstrated. God's unwavering, unconditional, relentless love has been proven and shown and demonstrated once and for all time on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he took all of the sin, all of the wrongdoing, all of the shame that you've done that not even anyone else knows about except for God. He took it. He took the weight of it on his body. It was broken for us. It was broken for you. And he didn't sin. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't actually deserve to receive God's wrath and punishment on the cross, but he stayed on there because of his love. He stayed on there because of his desire for you to be in relationship with his heavenly Father. So all of God's anger at sin and punishment was poured out on Jesus. And do you know what? Jesus won for us and offers us in return the free gift of a perfect record before God. All of God's anger and God's wrath went on Jesus, but Jesus's perfect life record gets given to us. Jesus's perfect life record and his relationship, his intimate relationship with the Father, we now have the capacity to know God as a heavenly Father. That is astounding. That doesn't make sense. That is crazy, relentless, amazing love. And he did it for every one of us. He did it for every person who ever existed that he created. Because he didn't want anyone to be separated from him. And after he died, he was buried. And after 3 days, he rose again from the dead. And we sing. When we're singing to him, when we're talking about what Jesus has done and who he is, we're talking about the fact that we know him and we have a conversation with him and we have a friendship with him. Many of us here do, because he's alive. And he appeared to so many of his followers and then he was ascended to the Father. He sits at the right hand of God, at the Father's right hand, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to come and live in the heart of any person who says, you know what, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to follow you. Come and live in your heart and help you to follow him. Forgive you of all your sins, give you a fresh start. Give you the guarantee of eternity in heaven with him. That is God's love demonstrated to you. God's love proven. God's love on display. God's love boldly declared. You are far, far more precious to him than birds. And Jesus keeps going. In Matthew 6, he says, is anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen colour and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. I want to give you an experiment this afternoon. Go find a flower and just study it and look at the intricacy of it and look at the beauty of it and look at the design of it. If he cares for flowers, how much more will he care for you? That's what Jesus says. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? Jesus is talking about do not worry, but he actually takes us a step back and he talks to our hearts. He says, what are you trusting in the most? He says, I can provide for you, my heavenly Father. You can trust him the most. Do you know why? Because he died on a cross for you. He put his love on the line for you. He says it's because your heavenly Father is feeding the birds and clothing the wildflowers. If he cares about such almost petty things like flowers and birds, how much more will he care for you? It may not look like what you think is best, but he will do his best for you. He will never fail you or forsake you. And so Jesus is talking to us today about putting first things first. He knows all about our worries. He knows that thing that you named in your head when I said, "What did you come in here carrying today?" Worries can weigh us down and keep us from trusting him the most. Worries can block us to seeing and remembering that he's our Heavenly Father. They get in the way of trusting him first. And I just want to pause for a moment because I know that there is sometimes some people struggle with anxiety as a mood disorder. It's a diagnosed mood disorder. And you or someone you know may be receiving medical help. They may need medical help. They may need professional counselling. And I see that. And I know that God provides that as part of his provision for your healing. So if you're struggling with that, just know that that's part of God's attentive care for you and that you're not alone. But what I'm talking about today is general worries that all of us face. I want to invite my husband Michael to come out here. He's used to this. He serves in kids' ministry, so they do lots of object lessons. All right, here's a backpack. Jesus is speaking to us through his word today. We can always trust him. He always has our best interests in mind. But I want you to think about some of the worries that you might have carried in here today. Maybe your mum or dad are sick and you've been worried about, or someone you love is sick and struggling. Maybe your kids have got no one to play with at school and it's breaking your heart. Maybe your workload at work is unsustainable and you don't know what you're going to do. Or maybe you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. You don't know how you're going to pay the bill that landed on your desk last week. Maybe you're worried about what will happen the next time someone breaks into your house. Hang on, I've got to put two lots in. Maybe you're worried if your marriage can survive what you're going through right now. Feeling nice and heavy? All right, you can put your hands together for Michael. That was a good demonstration. Thank you. That's all right. The reason I wanted to show you that is because I wanted to give you a mental picture about stuff that we carry around in our back. And do you know, Jesus says, "I'm actually strong enough to take the weight of that. You can trust me with that. You don't have to carry that. You don't have to carry that burden." Through every trial and situation, he's in control. You know, when we worry, we're not letting God take care of things. It's like we're saying, "I can take care of this, Jesus. I've got this. It's cool. Got my backpack on. It's all right. I'm handling this. I don't need your help." But he has already carried away our sins through his body on the cross. Nothing is too heavy for Jesus. He is the burden bearer. He is the one that we can take off that backpack and give it to him and say, "You know what? This is too heavy for me. I need your help. I need you to carry this." And then we can trust him that his answer's on the way. He has proven his commitment and his love to you on the cross. He's proven it. He's willing to lay down his life for you. He can carry what it is that's weighing you down. He's alive. There's nothing that's too big for him to handle. Even death couldn't keep him dead and buried. And he wants to carry it. He wants to carry it. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "Turn all your worries over to him because he cares for you. So Jesus finishes with saying in Matthew 6, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep or saturate your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. So this is why Jesus is telling us not to worry. Do you know what? So we can respond to all of his giving. Because when we worry, we can't. We're just consumed by all the things that we don't have, or all the things that might go wrong, or all the things that could be problems. Instead of thinking about what we do have in Christ. God's giving is never ending. You can steep or saturate your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, because they all find their purpose and meaning in his son Jesus. And as a response of thanks for all he's given and keeps on giving, we can do what he's asked us to do. We can keep or start following him wholeheartedly. We can saturate our minds and our hearts with amazing promises in his word. We can be about his business of bringing life and hope to others. And so Jesus finishes by saying, so don't worry. Don't say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? People who are ungodly run. They run after all those things. But your Father who is in heaven knows. He knows that you need them. But put God's kingdom first. Do what he wants you to do. Then all those things will also be given to you. I just want to finish by saying this. Your Father in heaven knows. He knows what you walked in here with today. He knows the weight of that backpack that you've had on your shoulders. He knows there's a lot of broken and selfish things in our world. He knows the wrong and injustice and evil that's been done to some of you in this room. And one day he will right every wrong. He will bring justice. He knows that there are lies and confusing messages that try and trip us up. He knows the things you feel like you can't talk to anyone else about. He knows where you're wounded or hurting, where you need his healing power to come into your life, where you're afraid, where you're discouraged. He knows. And so we're going to pray and talk to him, and we're going to take off some heavy loads today. We're going to give them to Jesus. Can we do that? Cool. Why don't we pray together? Just quiet your heart before him. He's here right now by his Holy Spirit. And while we're just in this attitude of prayer, I'm very conscious that some of you have been gracious and listened when you could have checked out this morning. And some of you perhaps have heard for the first time about God's relentless love. And you didn't know that. And he's got your attention. You know, I said the first prayer that I ever prayed was, God, if you're real, show me. That might be what you pray in your heart today. But if you feel like, you know what, this Jesus that you're talking about, I don't know all the answers, I don't know what it's all about, but if he really did that for me, if he really laid down his life for me, I want to know him. And it's as simple as asking him to come into your life. You don't have to get the words right. That's not what God looks for. He looks for an honest and sincere heart that just says, you know what, come into my life. So you can pray something like this in your heart as I pray it. Jesus, I just thought you were some religious moral teacher dude. I didn't know that you're really alive, but I feel you here today and I've heard about your great love. Forgive me for all the things that I've done wrong. Thank you that the punishment for those things went on you. You didn't deserve it, Jesus, but you did it for me. Thank you, Jesus. Come into my life and help me. My life is empty without you. My life, in so many ways, is a mess, and I need your help. Come into my life and help me to follow you. Thank you that you've given me your spirit, that I'm now a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I've got a lifetime of exploring what that means. But thank you that I can spend eternity in heaven with you forever. Because of all you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that and you meant it, do you know, I didn't put up my hand or go down the front or write anything on a Connect card, even though Pastor Dave's going to encourage you to do that, and that's great. But God did something in my heart 18 years ago where I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus is real. And he came in and he has never failed me and he's never left me. Doesn't mean that everything's been easy, but I have a real love, a real unshakable love and person that I can lean on fully and trust with my life. And we want that for you. You can ask questions, you can ask for a Bible, you can talk to someone who came with you, but take that next step of exploring or finding out what it means to follow him. Can we stand together? I want to ask you again, what load have you been carrying? I want you to just close your eyes. What load have you been carrying? Just the first thing that comes into your mind. Something that's been weighing you down, something that's been bothering you, something that's been worrying you. Just name it before Jesus. Jesus, I've been worried about this. I've struggled with this. I'm anxious about this.